Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 141. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let it reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, and thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, when thou hast gathered us together by renewal on this holy day of rest, within the walls of thy courts, may our eyes, may our hope, may our expectation be in thee alone. May it please thee that thou wilt dwell richly amongst us when in this evening by renewal we are called upon with our children to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai and to place ourselves under thy law. And then when we have come up to thy house, thou knowest what our thoughts have been, the content of our prayers, and then surely concerning the ninth commandment, and then we already know what the verdict shall be. And that shall be from the youngest to the oldest, a very guilty. And now, Lord, it is so needful that the explanation of thy law may be blessed to the hearts, that we may become very guilty indeed, given to repent, cry unto thee for mercy, and that thy law may be used as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And then also at the foot of Mount Sinai, concerning sanctification and the life of thy people. Ah, Lord, then how ashamed they should be. Thou hast written in thy word, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. That is the people which thou hast chosen from eternity, has been redeemed by thy Son, and is wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, with those new desires and those new longings. And then for thy people, then the threefold office of thy dear Son only becomes more necessary and more precious. May it please thee to bless thy word to that end, that also the explanation of the law in this passion season may be used to that end. Lord, do bless the means of grace in the church. Do help the consistory to that end on the Sabbath day during the week. A grant many Aaron's and hers. Bless the means of grace in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children. Bless thy word in our Christian school. We commend unto thee all those that may labor therein and labor therewith. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies. Remember our denomination. Remember our classes, when the classes hopes to meet in this week. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to all the delegates. Wilt thou graciously grant what is necessary in different capacities. Wilt thou grant wisdom, understanding, and may it be for the welfare of thy Zion. Continue to uphold the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish nation with that veil upon them. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Then the labors are manifold and the labors are few. To that end, may it please thee in thy favor, as servants for thy vineyard, a church worker for the mission field, and teachers for our Christian schools. Remember the nations of the earth, where there is war, the country of Ukraine. They have already entered the third year. Wilt thou uphold all the mourning, all the suffering, overwhelmed, a family separated? May it be used for the coming of thy kingdom. The land of Israel, already more than 5 months. Remember all the civil unrest and all the suffering upon the world. Remember our nation. Remember our province. Remember our town. Wilt thou grant unto the leaders that there may be a bowing of the knees and an opening of thy holy word, asking for thy will. Remember the many temporal needs. Wilt thou provide the daily bread for our family circles? May it please thee to grant more moisture for the dry earth. We commend unto thee all mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. We commend unto thee all of our elderly ones, our Bethesda, the residents, the staff, and do remember all the sick and afflicted, the mother who was scheduled for surgery. May it please thee to go with her, help the physician. May the means be blessed, remembered together with husband. And may this calling be sanctified. The handicapped daughter who in the day of tomorrow with her parents hopes to meet with a surgeon, wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding from above, and that there may be a solution for her. And, our Lord, above all, that this affliction may come forth out of thy right hand. Remember all those that are struggling, difficulties of the body, pain, weariness, difficulties and weakness of the mind, those that have many fears and concerns, undoubtedly at times discouraged and overwhelmed. Wilt thou then grant them that special place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee how overwhelmed they are, how difficult and how impossible the way can seem to be, and that they may ask from strength to strength. Remember the crosses, the burdens, the secret crosses. Wilt thou bless the family circles with love, and those that are struggling with temptations and addictions, do remember them. Maybe they have heard their name in this morning hour, but then it is so necessary to receive that look the work of the Holy Spirit, that true godly sorrow over our sin, which worketh a repentance not to be repented of, and to be led into the priestly office of thy dear Son. Lord, thou hast left many precious and good things amongst us and our children. Wilt thou grant that praise, that thankfulness, and oh, that true thankfulness that also needs to come from above. Wilt thou so graciously spread thy wings over us and our dear children in this serious and solemn time where Satan has but a short time, due place, that fiery wall round about us, and work richly by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, that many may come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, to receive the pardoning of all of their sins and that right to eternal life. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy Spirit in speaking and in listening, go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, from dwelling to dwelling, and may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 386, the first five stanzas. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. And what follows, Psalter 386, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43. Question 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? Answer. That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slander, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. Lord's Day 43 speaks of the ninth commandment, the commandment concerning the truth, with four thoughts. First, the lost truth. Secondly, the falsified truth. Thirdly, the promoted truth. And fourthly, the restored truth. The ninth commandment concerning the truth. The lost truth, the falsified truth, the promoted truth, and the restored truth. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour by renewal, then we are called upon to place ourselves under the holy law of God. And what a fitting place in the Passion Weeks. And then providentially, when the Lord shall grant it in the coming week, and then in the last Passion Week, then we shall come to the 10th commandment. And then when we place ourselves under the law, then we are called to examine ourselves. And then congregation may ask you, how has it been hitherto? The four commandments of the first table and the fifth to the eighth commandments of the second table. And then we have all heard that we are all very guilty. And where has that now brought us? Has that now brought us at the footstool of the Lord, as a guilty, hell-worthy sinner begging for his mercy? Ah, that is the wonder, that there is mercy for sinners. And now in this evening hour, fathers and mothers, have you spoken and explained to your children that in this evening it shall concern the ninth commandment, and for little boys and little girls then maybe those words bearing false witness, they do not understand them. But when you have told them that in this evening, that it goes about telling a lie, then they all understand. And then, as it were, then under the explanation of the law, then the Lord summons us, as it were, in a court setting, and in a courthouse there is a judge. And the judge is the Father in the economy of the Trinity, who upholds his justice. And then in this evening, the judge, he knows everything. He knows what lives in our heart. And then the sinner is summoned. And then maybe there are those that there were times that have went home nearly despairing, so hopeless that they have even thought, should I really go up, because I know what the verdict shall be? But congregation, there is the summons in God's word that we are called together under his word and testimony. And then in natural life, when we receive a summons and we do not appear in court, then our punishment shall be the greater. And then in the courthouse, then in this evening, there shall also be witnesses how it is concerning the ninth commandment. Then, as it were, then the judge has the law book before him. And that is the holy law of God, which says, thou shalt not bear witness against thy neighbor. And then an other witness that is our conscience. 'Tis still a blessing and a privilege when our conscience may speak, when we have profound impressions of what sinners we are. And then Satan also, how we can accuse before we commit sin. When he comes with temptations, he shall tell us it is not so great, not so bad, can be forgiven. But after we have committed, then he can try to drive us to despair. But then in the scripture, I also read of more. And that is what each and every one of us need, because we have heard of the purpose of the law that is threefold. In the first place, to uncover to our great guilt. In the second place, as a schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, to teach us that from our side, for ever impossible to keep that law. And in the third place, in the part of gratitude and in sanctification. And then in this evening, then each and every one has reason to hang his head in shame. Not one Pharisee in the front of the temple, but reasons to be that publican in the back. And may the Lord grant it in this evening. But now the word of God I read, and that is for the living church. In 1 John 2 verse 1, If any man have sin, we have an advocate with the Father, a Jesus Christ, the righteous, and young and old, that is needful that we come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of our sins, and then to receive a right to eternal life, where there shall be no lie, because I read in the last two chapters of the Bible in Revelation 21 and 22 that those that tell a lie, they have no part in that inheritance. And now our first thought, that is the lost truth. In paradise, God has created mankind in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And there he has given unto mankind a tongue, a rational mind, to speak with the Lord, to speak with one another, to praise the Lord, to pray, and that for the well-ordering of society. And then we read of an Adam that he was given to speak to that purpose, because he has given names to all the animals according to their character. And he is also called his dear wife, because she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then the whole earth has abounded with truth, with a perfect truth and a full truth. But what has now happened, that now upon the earth, that it is an earth full of untruth? Then we read of one, and that is the devil. And the devil, that means to be a slanderer. And that he was more subtle, that means boys and girls, that he was crafty. And I read in John 8 verse 44 that he is called the father of lies. And in this Lord's Day, to that end, the instructors, they have written that lies and deceit, they are the proper work of the devil. And then in Genesis 3, what a lies we find in that chapter. Then Satan has come to Eve, and then he has questioned God's word. Yea, hath God said? Then in verse 4, then he has plainly told Eve, ye shall not surely die. And in verse 5, God shall know that if you take of that forbidden fruit, you shall be as gods. And then Eve also began to perform the work of the devil, to be a liar, because she is given to Adam, intending to deceive them, to deceive him. They have sewed fig leaves together. And when the Lord called to judgment, then Adam, he did not tell the Lord how guilty he was breaking that covenant, but he has blamed the woman. And the woman has blamed the devil, where the devil has beguiled her, and young and old, the devil is still the same. He is such a liar. Then he tries to tell, especially the youth, that the service of the Lord is not such a good service, because then you shall have a boring life. Then you may actually not do anything. Then you can never enjoy yourself. Thus then the devil says, at least try to enjoy yourself when you were young. You still have lots of time to seek the Lord. That he portrays the service of the Lord as a hard service. And when we have listened to him, then he tries to drive us to despair. But now the wonder that there is a God of truth, which we hope to speak of in our forethought, that there is a remedy. There was also a remedy. Genesis 3 verse 15, in that mother promise, where the Lord has promised that the seed of the woman would come to bruise the head of the serpent, that he would gain the victory. And notwithstanding all the consequences of sin, which we read in Genesis 3, the verses 16 through 19, that the Lord has taken those animals, slain them, the blood is flown, and to that end he has made long coats and covered Adam and Eve. Our second thought, the falsified truth. Then our instructors, they speak especially of words. But in our day, with all the new technology, then it goes much further. It is true, in early days was also writing. But then you needed to send a letter. It did not go so quick. Thus, in that respect, this commandment has become much broader. And to that end, in the latter days, then the sins against the ninth commandment, they are greatly multiplying. And then the instructors, they speak of many sins. Then they speak of lying. Boys and girls, you know what it is to tell a lie. That is a great sin. And not only boys and girls, but we all know what it is to tell a lie. And we have many, many examples in the scriptures of those who have told lies, converted and unconverted. Think of Abram, the father of the faithful. He has told a lie concerning his wife to save his life. Jacob has told a lie. Oh, he had such a vehement desire for the blessing of the Lord that was good. It's recommended. But to obtain it, he has told a lie. And he said to his father, I am Esau. The wonder that the Lord did not deal with him as Esau and cast them into everlasting fire. The brothers of Joseph, to cover up what they have done, Potiphar's wife, it was on account of hatred against Joseph that she has told a lie concerning him. Gehazi, after Naaman has been healed, then when he was departing, then it was on account of greed to gain more that he has told a lie. We have Haman out of revenge. And oh, Peter, we have heard it in this morning. He was afraid that he would be mocked, maybe even imprisoned, although it was not a soldier with a sword, it was only a girl. That is asked whether he was a follower of Jesus. In different cultures, third world countries, also in Bolivia, then it is portrayed to be a greater evil to hurt your neighbor's feelings than to tell a lie. Thus many times when you shall ask them a question, then they shall give you an answer not to hurt your feelings. Our mission workers many times, when they have a stand and they have opportunity to speak to different ones concerning the Word of God and that one thing needful, and then they tell that we have a church and we gather from Sabbath day to Sabbath day the time, and then if they ask whether they shall come, then many times they give a positive answer, but they never show up. Then it speaks of bearing false witness. Think of Naboth with his vineyard. Think of Jesus Christ before Caiaphas. We have heard it in this morning. False witnesses. And then we can also speak of the oath, although that has been especially referred to because we have two commandments concerning bearing witness, the third concerning the first table with God, and in this commandment concerning our neighbor. And then what solemn results have resulted from bearing false witness. How many have spent years and years in prison? How many have been put to death because of false witnesses by different parties? Falsify one's words taken out of context, telling only part of the truth. Think of Doeg, the Edomite, concerning David, and the high priest Abimelech. Then the instructors, they speak of backbiting, speaking behind one's back, can be truth or untruth. But that is not kind, that is not profitable, that is a sharing of evil and damaging information. Thus also concerning this commandment, that we love our neighbor as ourself, and that we treat our neighbor as we desire to be treated, as we read in Matthew 7, verse 12, a slander that concerns untruths behind one back, matters that are not even true, matters that have not been confirmed, that have been verified. What an awful sin that is. They tell us in the early church that there was a man that has told much slander. And then he went to the minister and he said, "Minister, I have slandered different ones. What must I now do?" And then that monk said, "Friend, buy a bag of feathers and lay a feather on the doorstep of each one which you have slandered. And then after a week, then you go back to those doorsteps and then you gather those feathers together." And then that man said, "That is impossible." And then the monk says, "That shows the terrible sin, what slander is." And then closely related, then we could speak of gossip. In the Bible, it is so worded, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, that we read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, "And now in our day with the technology, then we do not need to go from house to house." What is the reason? It's written in God's word, being idle. Can be that we are curious. And then also when we have many troubles, misery seeks company. And when we may speak of the misery of others, that can seem, only seemingly, that soothes us. And then above all, it is to elevate ourselves. And then it damages the speaker. It damages the listener. And also the person concerned, Thomas Watson, he has stated concerning this sin that the speaker has the devil under his tongue and the listener has the devil in his ear. Oh, when we hear of these matters, then how necessary the prayer which we have heard out of Psalm 41. And then it actually is in the context of prayer that the psalmist has said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." That is necessary for prayer. But that is necessary for all our interactions with the children of men. And then they have spoken further of condemning rashly. Think of John 5, John 7, verse 51. When they were speaking evil of Jesus, then Nicodemus was a night disciple. But there was a time that he had to speak up and he asked the Sanhedrin, "Is it now right to condemn a man before he has been heard?" And then they speak of passing judgment rashly. Think of Job, the three friends. They have come to mourn with him. The first 7 days, there was silence. What a long 7 days they were. But in those 7 days, they have done better than when they began to speak. And then they have spoken orthodoxly. concerning the justice of God, and those friends have said, Job, it has to be where the Lord has come with such profound judgments upon you that in one day taken all your possessions and your 10 children, that there is a special sin in your life, Job. Be now honest, be now open, and confess that sin now before God and before man, that they have judged him very rashly, did not understand the ways of the Lord. We have the example of the high priest Eli. Ah, that God-fearing Hannah, where she was given to pour out her heart. Her lips moved, her voice was not heard. And what a special prayer it was. 3 times she has called herself the Lord's handmaid, has made a special vow. If the Lord would answer her prayer, a little boy, it would be a boy for the Lord. And Eli has seen it, and alas, what a dark time it was, that even women, of course, to be drunk is wrong for all, but even more shameful for a woman, that sometime there would come those women that would come drunk to the tabernacle to that end, was also their guilt that Eli had judged wrongly, because if that had never taken place, then Eli would not have spoken to Hannah the way he did. But he is judged rashly. Think of David. We are speaking of people of God. And the way of sanctification. Then David is also judged rashly concerning Mephibosheth. He has listened to the testimony of Ziba and has not searched it out what the truth was. Then the instructors, it is in the second table of the law to love our neighbor as ourself. Then we have spoken already before God in the third commandment, with our prayers, with our oaths, with our temptations, with our murmuring. Our third thought, to promote the truth, let us first sing of Psalter 26, the first 4 stanzas. Who, O Lord, shall dwell with thee in the temple of thy grace? Who thy constant guest shall be in thy high and holy place? And what follows, Psalter 26, the first 4 stanzas.
Thank you.
The ninth commandment, the commandment concerning the truth, the lost truth, the falsified truth, and then concerning that falsified truth, then the instructors have spoken of solemn things as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. And that is temporally, that is eternally, but that is also in a spiritual sense. There have been people upon the world that have bore false witness in courts that this one or that one was condemned, and also in other circumstances that lie and deceit has followed them by day and by night, and that finally they could do no other. Go to their neighbor, go to the law, and honestly confess what the truth was, whatever the consequences would be, that they could not continue to live in such a way. But now our third thought, that is the promoted truth. Sin, the center letter is I, and then everything centers around self, and then it goes about I. God, not so much in our thoughts, and that we are not seeking the welfare of our neighbor. And to that end, the instructors, they have added more, the positive part, that in judgment and all other dealings, family life, church life, business life, in the courts, whatever and wherever it may be, and all other dealings, that I love the truth. A love to God's word, not part, but all of his word. And then, of course, the first table, to love God above all, that we speak the truth, confess it, and that we live the truth. We read in the epistles of John that he speaks of truth 20 times, that we confess it. We have heard in this morning of a Peter that under all circumstances that we are given to confess the truth as we find it in God's word. Unwillingness to receive a false report, that we may be given to judge charitably unless we have proof that it is otherwise, that we are given to sorrow over our neighbor's infirmities, and then it shall not be our desire to spread it on the streets of Ascalon what our neighbor has done. And to that end, this commandment includes that we are honest with them, that we admonish instruction given in Matthew 18, the verses 15 through 17 that we defend and promote our neighbor's welfare as far as possible. For we read in 1 Peter 3 verse 10, for he that will have love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Then by renewal congregation, then we hear that we all are guilty, that we are very guilty. But may I now ask you, how do we live with our guilt? Do we try to excuse ourselves? Or maybe comfort yourself a little, not as bad as the world. But is that a solution, congregation? Then the judge declares that our sins, they must be punished temporally and eternally. And what is now necessary? That the Lord shoots an arrow of conviction in our hearts, that it all becomes reality. Oh, already the 9th commandment. And then by renewal, guilty for God's people in the way of sanctification, to be ashamed. But now our forethought, that is the restored truth, and that is by the God of truth. The Lord is true. Everything that is written in his word, all his threatenings, they shall all come to pass. Also all his promises, the Lord shall also fulfill them. The God of truth, I read in Titus 2 verse 1, a God that cannot lie, a God of truth concerning his invitations, they are sincere invitations that for guilty sinners the Lord proffers peace and pardon. He invites that sinners may come unto him to be fully pardoned and to be reconciled. All God's people have experienced that they are indeed all of truth. They are given to adore. And now concerning that restored truth, that is possible through that precious Savior. Do we not read in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in verse 17 of John 14, we read of the Spirit of truth. And now, upon the finished meritorial work of Jesus Christ, in the state of his humiliation, and where he now sits at the right hand of the Father, in the state of his exaltation, and then he pours out those heavenly graces upon his chosen people, and then the Spirit restores that truth, then they become honest with themselves, and then they become honest before God, then their excuses, one after another, are taken away, because we read in Romans 3 verse 19 that every mouth must be stopped and all the world become guilty. And now in beginning, then the Spirit, he restores that truth in such a heart. Oh, think of that prodigal son. He was not so truthful with his father. He has spent everything, but then he came to himself, a beautiful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit, and then he became a man of truth, where he was honestly given to confess, no excuses, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. And then he has returned to his father, honestly confessing the same. And then the wonder that father has taken that fatted calf, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the father has given as a gift, that has come down upon this earth for guilty sinners, even the chiefest of sinners, for sinners that are given to confess that they are so guilty, also of the ninth commandment, that they have been such self-seekers. And now the wonder that the Lord has restored that truth, because they read in Psalm 69 verse 4, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, I restored that which I took not away. And how is it now possible? We have spoken of an advocate for his church. And then Reverend Hellenbrook, he asked in the lesson concerning the mediator, is Christ now only a mediator of intercession or also of reconciliation? And then he is given to declare, based upon God's word, that he is not only a mediator and advocate that may plead and thus plead for the true church, but that he also demands, based upon the finished work, upon his shed blood, and then he may declare, oh, do we not read in John 8 verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in verse 36, that if the Son sets free, then the church is free indeed. And how is that now possible? Then we have begun that, as it were, that each time when we are given to speak of a commandment, that we are brought from one courthouse to another, and then we have heard the verdict, very guilty, that we are worthy of eternal, temporal, and eternal punishment, and that we can never, never deliver ourselves. But then we must be brought to a knowledge of him who was also brought from court to court concerning the last day in the life of Jesus before his crucifixion. And then he was brought three ecclesiastical courts, church courts. Then he was first brought to the courthouse of Annas. Then he was brought to the house of Caiaphas, and then early Friday morning, then the whole Sanhedrin has condemned him to death, Thus then we see in those courthouses that Jesus was brought. He has appeared. They have sought reasons to condemn him, but they have found none, and yet he was declared guilty. And then also Jesus was led to three civil courts of the country, first to Pontius Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pontius Pilate, and then each time there was the confession that there was no guilt with Jesus, and yet he was condemned. And why, congregation? Because before his Father, judicially, he has stood there with all the sins of his church. And to that end, he was led to the cross. And that gospel may be declared unto us and our children, that there is forgiveness through him, also against the sins of the ninth commandment. But congregation, we need more than to hear it. To make it simple for our boys and girls, if you are now very sick, much pain, afraid that you had to die, and you could see it on the face of father and mother, that they did not have much hope, and it seemed that there was no doctor that could help you. But now, if it would be heard that there was a doctor in this world that could help and that had medicine to heal, that would be quite something. But would that now be enough to hear it? And then you would say, no. Then I would have to go to that doctor so he could help me and give me a bottle of medicine that I may be healed. And so it is with our soul. Oh, what a precious message. A Savior that can save to the uttermost. And that is a message that receives value for sin-sick souls, as that woman with that issue of blood. People of God, then in the context, 'tis in the part of gratitude. The Lord has said to the children of Israel in Malachi 1 verse 6, if I then be a father, where is my honor? Oh, a blessing when the Lord grants it in the life of his people. That also in the part of sanctification, that they need that precious Jesus in his threefold office, and of whom it is recorded by the psalmist in Psalm 85 verse 10, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. How necessary the prayer of Psalm 43 verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then there is not one in this evening hour that can leave thy house and say, I am not guilty of the sin against the ninth commandment. May we be given to examine each of our hearts how we live with it, Lord. When it has never become our sorrow, our burden, our guilt, our missing. Well, thou granted in this evening hour, and souls with that burden, I'll bring them to the foot of the cross to be given to behold that precious crucified Savior who was also died for the sin against the ninth commandment. And Lord, in the way of sanctification, grant that close and tender life. We may commence another week. Remember the mothers in the home with the children. Remember at work. Remember at school. Remember on the way. Keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Grant a prayer for one another. Remember and bless the classes meeting. May we be given to remember one another at thy throne of grace. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 144, the first four stanzas. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyful strains. 144, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.